Spotlight.
This is Akashvani. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on India's Space Odyssey, Achievements and Milestones. The participants are Dr. Guru Prasad, former ISRO scientist, and Sagar Kulkarni, journalist.
India's astronaut Shubhanshu Shukla is all set to travel to the International Space Station as part of a joint ISRO-NASA mission from Kennedy Space Center at Florida on June 10. To speak about his journey and India's plans for the space sector, we have with us Dr. B.R. Guruprasad, the director of the Jawaharlal Nehru Planetarium in Bengaluru, with us. Welcome to the show, Dr. Guruprasad.
Thank you, Sagar.
Shubhanshu Shukla is set to travel to the International Space Station on June 10. So first tell me, why is this mission so important for us?
No doubt this mission is very important, Axiom 4 for the Indian space program, because the kind of information which Shubhanshu Shukla will acquire as part of his participation in this mission, the way in which he is going to experience life in space and the way in which he is exposed to different technical gadgets and technical equipment and the experience of his flight itself, that is very much essential. Essential in the sense they go a long way in further enabling the space program, the Indian human space flight program, Gaganyaan, I would say. Mm-hmm. India is already preparing very well for this. So, you know, since this is a precursor to that, I would say, in fact, in terms of experience, you know, before we launch our own astronauts, our own space travelers from our own soil using our own rocket in our own spacecraft, this is what the Prime Minister said about Gaganyaan, son or a daughter from India. Before that, you know, this mission will provide information which will be very useful, and that will be very good for our own Gaganyaan program.
Dr. Guru Prasad, could you tell us how were these astronauts selected by India? We have 4 astronaut designates, and Group Captain Shubhanshu Shukla is one among those who is traveling to the ISS.
Actually, astronaut selection process, though there might be differences a little bit between different spacefaring nations having human spaceflight program. See, one thing is, nowadays, person who wants to be a space traveler, that is people who go to space, orbit the Earth for a few days, okay, or a few weeks and come back, they need to have good physical and mental health, in fact. So that's a prerequisite. In addition to that, especially it demands the highest level of technical skills and technical parameters to which one is exposed. So many countries, when it comes to their first flight using their own rockets and their own spacecraft, they have selected test pilots because they are the best. Test pilots would have experienced some of the situations like, you know, high G environments. That is, during certain maneuvers are being conducted in an aircraft, a military jet aircraft, let us say, a fighter aircraft kind of thing. That kind of situation actually, to a certain extent, is found in space also. So they are better equipped to manage things. So that is how, even if you take the 4 Gaganyaan astronauts, Shubhanshu Shukla, of course, the youngest, and Prashant Balakrishnan Nair, who is his backup now, who is also in the United States, I understand. Then Group Captain Angad Pratap and Mr. Group Captain Ajit Krishnan, all of them are test pilots. First ever pilots from the Indian Air Force. So having a good physical and mental health is a prerequisite. And 2 people are traveling as mission specialists in Axiom 4 also, the Polish astronaut as well as the Hungarian astronaut. They're not test pilots, in fact, like Shubhanshu Shukla. And once the astronauts are selected, they undergo different trainings, you know, the kind of situations they face. Well, when they go to space, that is, their weight increases depending on the acceleration of the rocket as they travel towards space. And once they go to space, they experience weightlessness. And though it might be funny for a few moments, it is quite a bit of a challenge to live in the weightless environment of space, especially while doing daily chores like brushing or eating or drinking or shaving or even using the bathroom. So it is quite a bit of a challenge.
Dr. Guru Prasad, tell us about the International Space Station and why do we need to conduct various experiments in space and not on Earth?
On Earth, gravity is ever present. Gravity is present even in space. What is happening is, in space when spacecraft, whether it is Crew Dragon, in which Shubhanshu Shukla will be traveling to space, or the International Space Station, or even Apollo spacecraft when it was orbiting the Earth, you know, it would be falling towards the Earth continuously, though it doesn't reach the Earth's surface. So experiences weightlessness. And things change. The behavior of the materials, the behavior of the human system, the behavior of the life itself, the behavior of chemicals changes in the weightless environment of space compared to the terrestrial environment, that is on Earth, where weight is ever present. International Space Station is a football-sized spacecraft, and it is having enough space, you know, for living. It is equivalent to 5 or 6 bedroom house, and it has all the facilities for conducting experiments in space, conducting observations in space, conducting studies in space, as well as for quite a comfortable living for the people. So you can eat good food in the International Space Station, though not the kind of foods we eat here. The food has to be freeze-dried. Okay, otherwise, you know, the chunks of food, if it goes inside the nose or the ear or inside the electronic instruments or in the eye, create problems. So specially prepared foods can be eaten, and fruit juices or even coffee can be taken. At the same time, one can toothpaste, which can be swallowed, and wet towels can be used, personal hygiene, and $1 million toilet is in the International Space Station. Not actually one, two toilets are there, one in the Russian section, one in the American section. And, you know, the thing is there, in the case of toilets, whatever is gravity on Earth, it is substituted by vacuum. So though it is a challenge to live in the Earth orbit in space, one can live quite comfortably. So in the International Space Station, the human system itself, studying human psychology, human physiology in space, it is very important because, you know, one, humans are not content at just circling the Earth forever. They want to go to different worlds. You can go to Moon and come back within a week, but in order to go to Mars and come back, it may take 3 years or something. How are you going to manage for such flights? So this is a training ground for such things, I would say.
So basically, you can, space station or an orbital laboratory can be used maybe a junction for future interplanetary missions. Maybe you can go there, stop there, and then maybe take off towards Mars on other missions.
Yes, to a certain extent, yes. This was the kind of things which was shown in some of the science fiction movies which came in the 60s, 70s, 80s, or even 90s. I'll tell you one example. Forgetting the Earth orbiting space stations, you know, NASA, as part of its Artemis program, it is planning a space station in the lunar orbit. That is where a spacecraft from the Earth will go birth, and astronauts gets transferred, and you know, from there they are going to descend towards the lunar surface. Yes, whatever you said, yes, that can be done. An Earth orbiting space station can serve as some kind of a, not midway, at least, you know, to do certain things at the preliminary stage of the flight itself and to ready oneself for space travel.
Dr. Guru Prasad, India is returning to human space flight after a gap of 41 years. Do you recall the first Indian astronaut, Rakesh Sharma's travel to space?
That was April 3rd, 1984. I still remember. I was a very, very young chap who had entered ISRO at that time, maybe a few months earlier I had entered ISRO. For today's listeners, it might be difficult to believe. I didn't have a TV at home, because I was waiting to buy a color TV which came to India in 1984. So I bought the first color TV. But this Rakesh Sharma's flight, I went to a friend of mine, and in his house, I saw the launch of the spacecraft was called as Soyuz T-11, in which Rakesh Sharma and Yuri Malyshev and Gennady Strykalov, all the three, they lifted off in a Soyuz rocket, and they were sitting on top of it in a Soyuz T-11 spacecraft. And a day after or so, they went to space, started orbiting the Earth, and they then docked with the Salyut 7 space station of USSR, was the Soviet Russia. At that time, Rakesh Sharma lived there for about a week. You know, he did yoga there and shared his Indian food, including mangoes, with his Soviet counterparts, and did certain experiments, and he safely came back in another Soyuz spacecraft about a week.
So how do you see India's space journey from 84 to the present day? What are the significant achievements that you would like to highlight?
It is phenomenal. In 1984, when Rakesh Sharma went to space, actually. India had built only its first satellite launching rocket, SLV-3. The project director, earlier project director, was none other than Dr. APJ Abdul Kalam. Satellite technology was in its infancy, I would say. Only India had built experimental satellites, Aryabhata, Bhaskara, Apple, and Rohini. But look at today, in fact, India has more than 50 satellites serving the country. Satellites are part of our economic infrastructure today. And we have built 6 generations of launch vehicles. SLV-3, the only vehicle during 1984, during the Rakesh Sharma's flight. Then we had ASLV from 87 onwards, though it succeeded in 92 for the first time. PSLV, which is a world-class launch vehicle, okay, which launched 104 satellites in a single flight in 2017. Then we have GSLV with the most sophisticated cryogenic stage as in its third stage, as its third stage. Then we have built LVM3, which has launched 72 foreign satellites as well as Chandrayaan-2, Chandrayaan-3 spacecraft. And we have, you know, to be abreast of the latest things, we have built SSLV, that is small satellite launch vehicle, because satellites have shrunk in size, weight, power and everything. And, you know, there are opportunities for us to launch small satellites. So there has been a phenomenal growth in satellite technology, in launch vehicle technology, in ground systems technology, in the field of ground infrastructure technology. For example, Indian Deep Space Network is there. There is an antenna which is 105 feet in diameter near Bangalore, a marvel of Indian engineering. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, when it comes to the utilization of space technology, India has excelled even in this. So the growth in technology is phenomenal, and it has galvanized the entire nation. And I'm sure Shubhanshu Shukla's flight is, as he himself has said, I'm not going to space alone, okay? I'm not traveling as an individual. I carry the dreams and aspirations of 140 crore Indians, or a billion Indians, he has told. What prophetic words, no doubt about it. And it will further galvanize our student community at different levels, as well as the general public.
We are also looking forward to the Gaganyaan mission in 2027, and also planning to launch explorations to Venus and beyond.
No doubt about it. Gaganyaan, you know, ISRO, I believe that it is very cautiously proceeding. One should not be emotional. Former chairman Mr. Somnath had told, safety is of utmost concern. I am sure that the present chairman, Sri Narayanan sir, he is also very equally aware of the safety aspects and such things. And they're planning things in a systematic way. And Axiom 4 flight will provide some of the essential data. You know, the kind of experience one can talk to American astronauts in informal way. But when you are part of a flight, the way in which you communicate, the way in which you experience, that is the uniqueness. That is the USP. Axiom 4, as far as Indian space program and Gaganyaan is concerned. And I'm sure that it will help Gaganyaan in many ways. And Shukrayaan is there. And there are many other challenging things. Mm-hmm. Gaganyaan is the first step. Then Bharatiya Antariksh Station is there. Then India has ambitions to land humans on the moon, maybe by 2040 or by the centenary of India's independence. Probably we aspirations are there to establish a permanent presence on the moon. So these are all the things, you know, they're proceeding in a systematic way. Looking at the history of the Indian space program, the growth of it, its achievement and its uniqueness, I'm an optimist in this. As a seasoned observer of space for the past nearly 4.5 decades, as well as I'm very proud to have worked for ISRO for nearly more than 3.5 decades, I consider it as a privilege. I wish good luck for Shubhanshu Shukla.
So here's wishing astronaut Shubhanshu Shukla best of luck on his maiden travel to space. Thank you for talking to Akashvani, Dr. Guruprasad.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on India's Space Odyssey, Achievements and Milestones. The participants were Dr. Guru Prasad, former ISRO scientist, and Sagar Kulkarni, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the New Services Division of Akashvani. You can listen to it on our mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on our YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at airnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 928-909-4044.
Spotlight.